You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, June 28th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's already Friday. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Hope you had a decent enough work week. I'm always start off reminding you with our Sven Longshank support links here in the description for the Daily Nationalist. Again, I'd like to thank all of you who have continued to remember Sven and drop him a postcard or an email, whatever the case may be. I know he appreciates it. And I know Dr. Johnson and I both, we appreciate all of you who have stuck with him. We're hopefully going to see some results of, you know, some movement, perhaps, in the near future. That's, of course, what we're hoping for. Well, it is Friday. We tried to wrap up the week on a light note. Humorous look at the week's topics. Of course, I kind of take a humorous look at things all the time. So it's not really even that much different. Well, of course, the big news is last night we had our big debate between Trump, Biden. Boy, the most anticipated debate. I didn't watch much of it. I watched some of it just to see what a clown show. I was telling somebody before the debate aired, I said, I'm going to watch some of it because I want to see if they roll out one of the fake Bidens or if they roll out the real one. Media would say that's a conspiracy theory. It's a pretty good theory. I think there's sufficient, pretty good circumstantial evidence that they do have doubles that stand in for this guy. And I said, I want to see which Biden they bring out. I said, because they can't bring out the real one. If they do bring out the real one, then that I think that means something. Maybe it means, perhaps, it could potentially mean that Trump has gone ahead and struck a deal to get selected to be the next president. Lo and behold, because my expectation was they were going to have somebody else. I said, there's no way they can't dope him up enough to stand up there for 90 minutes. It's just, there ain't no way. And within the first few minutes of this thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, they actually brought out the real one. That became evident. Evident very soon. I didn't watch the whole thing because it's all fake and this is all just theater. It all, you know, that's all it is. And one thing I did find humorous is Biden would go off on one of his rambling things and the moderators would interrupt him and say, thank you, Mr. Biden, and shut off his mic. And I saw some people commenting saying, well, that's so unfair. The moderators are favoring Trump. They cut off Biden several times. It's like, no, they were trying to help Biden. He was going off into complete la-la land. He was fixing to start telling us a story about corn pop or something. And they could see that. They cut off his mic. Thank you. You know, like they didn't even say your time is up. They just cut off his, thank you, Mr. President, cut off his mic and move on to the next thing. There was one, I don't even remember what the topic was, and he went off on a rambling Biden moment. And they cut him off, and they jumped over to Trump with, like, a really antagonistic thing to try to change the subject. And I'm like, could we be any more obvious? Like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing. I was just mostly curious. I watched enough Biden rambling senile moments to get some entertainment out of that. I quit watching about the point they brought the moderator brings up October 7th, Israel was attacked. And I stopped right then. And I stopped right then because, not because I didn't think they should bring up what's going on in the Middle East, but because I knew we were going to have the competition of who's going to do more for Israel, our greatest ally, which no one will ever actually tell us what this greatest ally does for us. You know, there should be some, you know, reciprocation. Now, it shouldn't be just a one-way street. Because to the average person, they look at this. And it's a one-way street. We send them money. We send them weapons. We do everything for them. We let our foreign policy be shaped around. Those are hilarious. You know, it'd be interesting. I wish just once they could let someone like myself, or just, you know, anybody outside of the system. Of course, they would never allow it. But it's just as a mental exercise. It's fun to imagine what would happen if you could just like have one of the moderators be replaced with one of us, with just some normal. We're just some normal person. Like when they go rambling on and on about our greatest ally, say, what do they do for us exactly? Because it looks to me like they're pretty much on the beneficiary and we're like in the codependent relationship where we're enabling, you know, all their negative behavior. What are we getting out of this? What are we getting out of this deal? Then, of course, we did have to have a rambling old person moment where they argued over their golf game. Like, who cares? Yeah. I thought it was funny. The media did their usual thing. We had this group of voters together to watch the debate and give us their feedback. And we have these undecided. Who the hell is an undecided voter? I mean, really, they act like these people. And they always present these quote unquote undecided voters. And they present them as these are the reason. This is the target audience. These are the reasonable people who are really wanting to weigh the issue. And there's one undecided voter who looked like he wasn't old enough to shave, starts rambling about, it really didn't move the needle for me one bit, because you see, like I didn't get anything about the substantive issues, you know. I really wanted some issues. Once again, if someone like me were there, I would be like, well, what are your issues? Like, be specific. What did you want to hear? Well, I wanted to hear something substantive about the issues. No, I'm saying what issues are important to you. You know, like when you're old enough to shave, what are you going to be worried about? What's going to be the important issues that you are undecided about? Like, if you think this election thing is really real, wouldn't it be kind of decisive to you that obviously one of the candidates has no idea where he's at? Maybe one of the media moderator peoples, if someone like you or I were allowed to be on there, would bring up the question to these potential voters. Since obviously Joe Biden, it's been demonstrated in tonight's debate that Joe Biden is not actually making any decisions. Nobody can come away from that and think this man is running anything. Shouldn't the people have a right to know who is making these decisions? It seems like that would be important. We're spiraling ever closer to potential nuclear conflict. Seems like it might be important, but do people have an idea who's making these decisions? Again, this would never be allowed because this brings people closer to the fact that all of these people are sock puppets. There's really not a huge amount of difference at the end of the day from when Trump had his 4 years to anybody else. Because the reality, even though he's not Dementia Joe, Trump wasn't actually making any real decisions. Or he would try to make a decision and they would just, the apparatus, the people, they would just do what they wanted to do anyway. It would undermine him. I read a deal somewhere and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't have any, you know, I don't have paperwork here to back it up in front of me, but I just saw a random thing on the internet and I thought, well, that's just about right. One of the moderators, the woman moderator, I read somewhere where her husband was one of the CIA, the intelligence officials who signed off on the whole thing saying Hunter Biden's laptop was Russia propaganda. Seems like that might be important for the people to know if that's true. I don't have that in front of me. I'm just saying I saw that. I'm not going to take the time to go dig it up and see if that's correct. It's probably correct. The media, the government, the apparatus, it all is a part. It's all a part. It all works together. It's not a separate entity. I did go check back in. I did check back in from time to time to see if it gotten any better. It didn't. I'd watch it for a couple minutes and go back to what I was doing. There was no way I was going to spend 90 minutes of my life watching this meaningless circus. Because it doesn't matter. You know, these guys are selected. Like I said, the fact that they rolled the actual Biden out there, that kind of says that maybe he's, you know, I've said for a while, what you've been watching Trump do is he's working a deal to get selected. And the fact they rolled the real Biden out there and let him ramble on like that kind of tells me that perhaps, you know, he's pretty close, if not has already struck a deal to be selected to be the next president. The media reaction to this shit show was funny, too, because I didn't watch it on CNN. I don't have CNN. I don't have cable. I don't pay for TV. I just get the free shit. Yeah, I've got an old school, like 1960s, you know, tier antenna on the side of the house. I get broadcast TV because I ain't paying for that shit. So, but they put it on the other network. So I had it on CBS. And that's where I was. Well, I was reading online. I wasn't watching. I was reading online when it was wrapping up that it was, you know, it basically continued to degenerate and get more and more embarrassing there at the end. And it was wrapping up. So I flipped it on and I just got right there where they said, you know, okay, it was done. And they went back from CNN feed to the CBS, because I had it on CBS, to the CBS feed. Nora O'Donnell, I think that's her name. She just immediately went into a menopausal meltdown over Trump. It's always interesting to watch the Trump derangement syndrome in action because it's completely unhinged. It has no connection to reality. Like I say, as far as what actually was accomplished during the Trump presidency, it really wasn't much different than anybody else's presidency. Because again, these people aren't making real decisions. That's the thing they don't want you looking at. You're not seeing really that much. Yes, things are getting worse under Biden, but it has nothing to do with Biden. That's just, this is the downward slope that we're on. The empire is degenerating. It's collapsing. More and more things cease to function. There's a huge competency crisis. The economies deteriorate. Everything is in deterioration. It's not going to matter who's sitting in there behind the wooden desk in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter. Anybody with any ability to reason whatsoever is going to see this and understand that it doesn't actually matter. That's one of the things that makes this Trump derangement thing so kind of funny, is because these people, obviously, it matters to them. Again, Trump didn't really do anything different. He didn't really do, there wasn't this huge drastic change under Trump. Nora Donald, she went into this meltdown. Trump just kept lying and using misinformation, and President Biden didn't fact check him. It's one of those media terms that got made up several years ago. And now they just use it like it's this real thing and we're all supposed to take it so seriously. Of course, the facts, because I'm big on, y'all know me, I'm big on definitions because these people are always twisting the meaning of words. And if you're not clear on definitions, there's no way to be focused on the truth because they continually redefine words all the time. Checkers. He didn't fact check him. What is the definition of facts in this context? Well, the definition of facts is whatever the media has said. So Trump, you know, said things that the media disagrees with, and by golly, those are the facts because, after all, the media said it. She had this basically menopausal hysterical meltdown over, oh, Trump just lying and twisting. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. And it's like, you know, look, you can hand wave and be hysterical all you want to, but obviously Biden's senile. He is. He's got ongoing probably dementia. I mean, that's, everyone can see that. There's no misinformation here to be had. I realize you're trying to hand wave and turn everything over to here. Oh my gosh, Daddy Trump is just a liar and a big fat meanie. Didn't get fact checked. He disagrees with the media. We'll continue. I've got some stories we're going to reference here as well. Give me some stuff to link up to. Y'all might find interesting or not. At some point in the debate, of course, they had to bring up climate change. Now, I'm old enough, and many of you probably are too. You remember it used to be the environment. And Trump always tries to shift it back to being about the environment. They brought up climate change, which is a whole different thing from the environment. Trump responded with, you know, he was the most amazing, and they had ultra pure water, which is bullshit, of course. We have microplastics in all the water, even the rainwater now. But according to Trump, he had the most spotless, clean, 100% pure water everywhere in the country when he was president. The cleanest air, the cleanest everything. None of them talking about microplastics and all of those other things that really should be, maybe, perhaps, addressed. But they don't want to talk about that. They wanted to talk about climate change. And of course, Biden, in the best way he could, rambled on about climate change. Once again, if someone like myself or you could be there, we could bring up, look, we all know this is a hoax. I get so tired of this idea that we're all supposed to go along with this agenda in the name of climate change, and it's a hoax. It's one of those things that has to be pointed out time and again. I just feel better by pointing out the whole thing is a lie, and it's a stupid and ridiculous lie. And hopefully when this whole thing finally collapses on itself, we can quit hearing about it. And maybe, if God is willing, historians 50, 100 years from now will be writing about how stupid it was that they were going around with this lie about climate change. I got a story related to this. I'm going to read the whole thing. Denmark is set to become the world's first country to place a levy on greenhouse gases produced by livestock. Denmark is set to impose a new tax on farmers over greenhouse gases produced by their livestock. Taxation Minister Heppe Bruce has announced the toll on cow, pig, and sheep emissions will be implemented starting in 2030, according to the minister. The new tax is expected to greatly contribute to the country's goal of reducing emissions by 70%. From 1990 levels by the end of the decade, as well as ultimately attaining carbon neutrality, which is explained. Emissions. They say this is the hoax. Well, we've got microplastics in our water. Our food in the U.S. is banned in like 30 other countries. You pick up anything off of the shelf and it reads like an inventory list out of a chemistry lab. They talk about climate change, emissions from animals, like that's not a part of nature. Because, see, now carbon dioxide has magically become a pollutant. This is the center of the climate change hoax. Carbon dioxide is now considered pollution, the very thing that you breathe out. I read this story about them taxing the quote-unquote emissions from livestock. And the thing that never gets mentioned is it's the same thing that human beings are emitting too. You see, if they're going in the name of the climate change, if they can tax the emissions from livestock, they can tax the emissions from you. Is it really a leap of faith? Is it really a leap of logic to go from they're taxing animals for emitting CO2 to we're going to tax people for CO2? Yes, they will unironically be taxing people for breathing, for living. How dare you breathe? You're destroying the planet by breathing. And yet, during these debates, nobody stands up and says it's a hoax. Everybody nods their heads and goes along and pretends. That's why people like you and me would never be invited. That's why the debates themselves are rigged up. They learned their lesson back in the 90s. Ross Perot brought this about when he polled high enough to get into the debates. Back then, they were held by was the League of Women's Voters. And he breached the threshold and he rocked the whole boat. Back then, it was your choice was Bush or Clinton to be selected. Perot rocked the boat. And he stood up there and spoke truths. After that, they changed the whole way. They took that away from the League of Women Voters, and now it's some congressional committee. It's just a swamp thing. And this year, they even changed it even more to make sure that nobody from the outside could get in there. Because heaven forbid, if an outsider was able to be up there on the stage, they would say they'd have the potential to stand up there and say, climate change is a hoax. Everybody listening, everybody watching this on TV knows it's a hoax. I'm not going to play along. The media can, oh my gosh, he's not being fact-checked. They can tax the emissions of animals. They're going to tax the emissions on you. And potentially, if that's not enough, well, we're going to have to find a way to limit the number of animals. There's already talk of that, by the way. And again, the next logical step after that is we meaning they, have got to come up with a way to limit the number of human beings. We just got too many people emitting too many greenhouse gases. They're killing the planet. Nobody will be able to live with all these people breathing CO2, feeding the plants with their breath. How dare they? When you read about the climate change or you see this nonsense brought up in the debate, there's two very different things you have to understand and you get to keep in mind. The people at the top, the people pushing the agenda, they know it's bullshit. They're not true believers. Now, the journalists and some of these people, they are true believers. It's literally, you are literally watching people follow a cult. I saw a story, I'm not linking to it, I'm not looking it up right now, but I saw a story where in Oklahoma, you know, they're going to teach, they passed a law to teach the Bible and the Ten Commandments in school. And of course, the media and the journalists are all having a meltdown over it. Separation of church and state, separation of church and state. These people are cult members. It is a lie when they talk about they don't want religion in the schools. They want their religion in the school. Their religion is things like climate change, various sexual stuff, mostly related to the LGBT thing. And we know this. It's in virtually all the schools. They teach this homosexual stuff. We're always hearing about trans kids and all of the rest of it. It's not necessarily so much for some of these people, at least. It's not so much an ideology. People say it's an ideology. It's a religion for them. So when they throw a conniption fit over Oklahoma teaching the Bible and the Ten Commandments and they say no religion in the school, what they mean is no, they want their religion and only their religion in the school. For the true believers, climate change is a religion. That's why when you point out how ridiculous a hoax is, like I say, they're like cult members. And there's no point in talking to them because they just have a historical meltdown because they've put their full faith in their false religion. They're cult members. You point out that it's a hoax. They don't just say, oh, well, it's not a hoax. Looky here. No, they have a hysterical meltdown because this is a religion for them. Of course, in the debate, foreign policy plays in. At one point, Biden got confused and he started saying Trump when he meant Putin. You know, it reminds me, like, if you've ever had, like, elderly family members who have dementia, you know, and it's a sad thing. And like I say, I mean, outside of the political aspects of this, it's really sad to see this happening to somebody like Biden. I mean, my sympathy is pretty limited because the guy's kind of pretty much always been an asshole, in my opinion. But I mean, if you took that factor out of the equation, this is elderly abuse. It really is. And if you've ever had like family members with dementia, it's always very sad to watch them in decline because it's only going to get worse and it accelerates. At first, you know, it's not that bad. But if you've ever been around people that have this condition, you know that there comes a tipping point and suddenly they go from, well, yeah, they have some problems, you know, and then they start having problems stringing some, you know, from memory to they have problems stringing sentences together. I have problems stringing sentences together. Oh, no. What could this mean? They have problems stringing sentences together. And then all of a sudden, it's like they just there becomes like a tipping point and it accelerates. The idea that you're going to keep this man in the White House for four more years, I can assure you his condition now will be multiple times worse. Watching Biden rambling in the debates is akin to like when you're sitting there with somebody that has dementia and you know what they mean, so you don't correct them. Like if you're talking to a normal person, you would sit there and say, you meant to say Putin there, right? And that, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant Putin. But when you're dealing with somebody with dementia, you don't correct them. You just nod your head and go along because you understand they're doing the best they can. It's kind of sad. Kind of sad. Of course, foreign policy came up. And Trump brought up, you know, Biden's disastrous retreat from Afghanistan. Once again, nobody is going to sit there and say, why doesn't anybody stand up here and admit that that whole thing was a debacle from the get-go? You know, they act like the debacle began with the withdrawal instead of the initial attack and invasion. Trump hit Biden hard on Afghanistan. Afghanistan, this shameful, shameful retreat. And nobody bring up what the hell were we doing there in the first place. We all know what they were doing there. I got another story to jump to because you see the fallout from the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan continues to affect the world. This story says, Afghan heroin shortage could lead to more overdose deaths, according to the UN. The Taliban has virtually wiped out production of opiates, stifling the global black market, a report has claimed. The Taliban's crackdown on poppy cultivation in Afghanistan could trigger a spike in overdose deaths if the global heroin lack is filled by more potent synthetic compounds, the UN has warned. A report released on Wednesday by the UN Office on Drugs and Crime assessed the impact of a ban on opium cultivation, production, processing, and trade, which the Taliban reintroduced in April of 2022. It came too late to affect the harvest that year, but the crackdown caused output to shrink 95% in 2023, it said. We have to stop there. Every time these people go on and on about the opioid epidemic, you go to the doctor, if you have a medical condition, and you go to the doctor and get surgery, and they send you home after the surgery, they send you with Tylenol, because, oh my gosh, we can't have you having opioids, because the government says so. Every time these liars go on about wanting to combat the opioid epidemic, it's another lie. When it says here, right in the story, in the UN's report, the Taliban reintroduced this ban on opioid production. It shrunk it caused output to shrink 95%. So in other words, it was 95% higher under U.S. occupation. Let that sink in. This is what they were doing. And you see, now it's a problem. Never gets brought up in these debates, does it? What was the U.S. actually doing in Afghanistan? Cultivating the opioid epidemic, which they then won't let you have pain medicine when you leave the hospital, because after all, we're combating the opioid epidemic, which they themselves were cultivating in Afghanistan. I'll spit it out here in a minute. Out of Afghanistan when they were occupying it. We all read the story. Most of you read the stories. These military people that went over there, these soldiers and whatnot, they went over there and said the first thing they did when they were sent there was sent to guard the opioid fields, the poppy fields, protect the drug output. Of course, they try to spin this as, well, that's their income. We have to protect these farmers in Afghanistan who are making a pittance off of this poppy production. Where did the money go? We know where the money went. We know who was pocketing the money. Yeah. I mean, we know. That never got brought up. They go on about Afghanistan. Why was it so important for the U.S. to promote the production of these opioids? I don't know why I can't say that right to the opioids while they were there. Why was that such a top priority? And after all, where the hell did all that money go? Who got it? Whose pockets did it go into? Seems like we ought to know that. And now the UN issues a report admitting, you know, in a backdoors kind of roundabout manner, they admit that all of this opiate production was being backed by the U.S. They admit this. The Taliban take back over and they reban it. And now, oh my gosh, there's a problem. We don't have enough of these drugs or something. It's just, it's mind-boggling. But let's talk about climate change some more, huh? Let's talk about how they're trying to help us. They're trying to stop this epidemic of people on drugs. They're all liars. Every last damn one of them, they're all liars. All this stuff is fake. I saw them bring out again on the news this morning because they were still in meltdown mode about Biden's performance. And, you know, I saw them bring up this allegation. Polls show that voters aren't happy with either candidate. Well, that's a lie. Another lie. Imagine that. Or at least I believe it's a lie. It would actually take further in-depth research to verify the way I read the polls. Because basically you have these polls that show there actually isn't very much enthusiasm for Trump or Biden. The media takes that and turns around and tells you that the people really aren't, they really don't like either one of these guys. They don't like these choices. I read that as more and more the people realize this whole thing is a sham. These guys are selected. Voting doesn't matter. They're going to get selected. You know, I mean, whether you, whatever you think of him, why wasn't Kennedy up there? He's a candidate. Why wasn't he up there? Why can't we have these guys, other guys up there? Hell, put, if you've got a Green Party candidate run, put them up there. Put the Libertarian guy up there. Hell, it'd be more entertaining than just these two guys talking about their golf game. Why? I read this when they have these polls that say there's this lack of enthusiasm over the election, over Trump versus Biden 2.0. See, I read that as people know the shit's fake. They know that the election was frauded. And they know this is fake. Enough people have seen this now, and it's accelerated over the years. It took a little more time. You had to get older to notice the pattern. But people have finally noticed that, look, it doesn't matter who's in there. They're not going to do what you want them to do. The diehard MAGA people are still holding on to this idea that Trump's going to drain the swamp because, I don't know, maybe Q. They're still believing the Q thing or something. I don't know. But I read that poll and I read it as more and more people realize it doesn't matter. And if very few people show up to vote, they're going to spin that because they can't have you, they can't have you understanding that the whole thing is fake. They got to try to peddle legitimacy. If very few people bother showing up and voting, which is a logical thing to do, why waste your time? They're going to spin that to see people wanted a choice besides Biden or Trump. They wanted Gavin Newsom, maybe Kamala Harris or Jeb Bush or somebody. When the reality is that more and more people realize it don't matter. They don't care about you. They don't care about what you think. You see this in the democracies all over the West. It doesn't matter who you vote for. You get what you get. The Tories in the UK have been promising to do something about immigration now for years and years, and nothing changes. People understand. There's no point anymore. Why would you be enthusiastic when it doesn't matter which one of these assholes is in the office? The same things are going to happen. The same thing, same policies. What you want doesn't play into it whatsoever. This is just theater. That's the way I read these polls. And of course, the media spins it as, well, they just want another choice. And if that were true, then again, that begs the question, why aren't any of the other choices on the stage with these guys? Why do you have these ever-increasing thresholds these other candidates can't get up there? He'll give the people another choice if that's what the polls mean. It isn't what the polls mean. The polls mean more and more people realize the system is illegitimate. This stuff is all theater. And these candidates are pre-selected. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you had a humorous. Hope you laughed with me. I thought some of it was funny. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you've had a chance to check out all our great content up here on Radio Albion that we've put up this week. If not, hey, go in there, hit that download button. I know the site's kind of not functioning the way it's supposed to. That's just how it is. This just, I don't have the ability or the time to dedicate. This was a full-time job for Sven. I mean, this is what he did. That's why the site was so cool. You know, when streams worked and all your little things you clicked worked the way they're supposed to. I don't have the ability or the time to do that. And so I thank you all again for bearing with us that things are a little janky. Anyway, if you haven't, because they're janky, you can't just hit the three buttons and do download anymore. You got to hit where it says download is written out underneath there. Click that. And you should be able to, should pop you a tab open. You can still download, go back and listen to whatever. So I hope you'll get a chance to check out what we've had up. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.